You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
My very first time overseas to minister in any way was to India. So why waste time going to, you know, a little close place like Mexico, go halfway around the world? And it was great. I got to know Pastor Mohan. I'd already heard of his reputation. This is a genuine apostle of the Lord. So I want to clarify something while I'm here. We have a missions group in our church. We support missionaries. Pastor Mohan's not a missionary who's gone to another nation. He is a son of India and a son of God who's imparted to tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands in India that have come through his churches. He's got well over 800 churches last time I knew. He doesn't talk about these kind of things because he's a humble, simple man of God who just exists to glorify God.
Amen.
And when he's also really funny. He carries the grace of God in a really funny anointed package. They taught me how to play what you call cricket while I was over there. And he says that's the only game we could play in heaven. So I figured, all right, I'll learn how to play it while I'm there. And I thought, oh, it's like baseball. No problem. I'm going to show these kids whatnot. And this little 8-year-old boy, I forget what you call it, but he basically struck me out his first pitch. I was like, oh, that's harder than it looks. And Mohan was there with a bullhorn announcing the game, and I almost wet myself. I was laughing so hard. It was just so funny and all of that. And he's anointed. He carries the anointing of God in such richness and such life. So I'm really eager for what he's going to impart to the house today. I want to urge you to receive him as one who's imparting to us today. Hear the word that the man of God's going to preach, but more than that, receive the impartation. Could you extend your hands to him and let's bless him as he comes forward. We receive Mohan today. We receive this anointed vessel, truly a man who carries the Spirit of God with humility and with strength. And we receive him right now as a sent one. Thank you for laying on his heart even a word for this house today. And we pray that word will come with power, with conviction, and with the ability to give us something that we don't have. We come right now before you, Father, with mouths wide open, spiritual mouths wide open, hungry for something new and something that'll take us to another level in the Spirit together. We receive this man of God and welcome him in Jesus' name. Let's welcome Pastor Mohan.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Such a joy to be here this morning, to be a part of this family. I have been here quite a few times, and I know Pastor Steve for the past 15 years. Such a joy to stand here to minister to you people. And before I preach, I just want to thank God, because he deserves all praise, all honor, all glory, all majesty. It's all about him, because he is the one who deserves everything what we do. So shall we give him a big round of applause? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I really thank my Pennsylvanian parents, Ken and Shirley. Can you wave your hands, please? These are the most precious couple I have ever seen in my life. They are that house is open for missionaries, and such a love you can see with them. And I think I'm blessed to know them personally, me and my wife. And please continue to pray for them and for their families, because they are the missionaries to missionaries, you know. So they serve us, they help us, they drive us wherever we want, and they feed us, they make us feel more comfortable. What else you want when you go to some place, unknown place? You have a house, anytime you can go and stay there. So such a joy. Thank you so much. And here is my beloved wife, in whom I am well pleased. So would you mind, Rani, coming for a while, just share few words of greetings. So give her a big round of applause.
Hallelujah. I am very glad to be in my family.
Amen.
As we are serving God, we enjoy. I hope you do. And as these are the last days, we need to do a lot of work. Jesus said in Matthew 9, chapter 9 and 38, 35 to 34, 6, 38, harvest is plentiful, laborers are few. And ask of him so that he can send laborers. So we need, as you are praying, God may be sending his laborers into the house. So it is the time where we can do the ministry, evangelize the whole areas as it, we are commanded in Acts 1:8. When you receive power, you testify me in Jerusalem, Judea, and uttermost parts of the earth. This is the time. And we need to evangelize the areas, and also we need to fight a good fight of faith, and we need to run the race, walking in the paths of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, this morning I have a word for the church. I have been praying, and you know, as Pastor Steve was sharing, you know, when they come to our place, we don't give them rest because they have not come to rest, but they have come to minister and impart. And I always say that, you know, where Pastor Steve has ministered to some of our kids, this man has got great anointing on his life, you know. And today they are the worship leaders in our church. They are the pastors in our church. So, you know, that's how God works into our ministries when we impart to, into the lives of the people, you know. And I was in Ephrata Community Church, you know. One man came to me and said, Pastor, thank you so much for your impartation. You know, when you prayed for me to release a gift in my life, it is I'm being in that. Thank you so much for that word, releasing into my life. I forgot that, you know, because we don't know what, it's God, we don't know. And we can't even remember what we do at times. But they remember the people who receive it, you know. And it's such a joy that, you know, when Pastor Steve came, it has been a blessing to our people. Today, it's a fruit, like, you know, what he has sown, the fruit has come in India. So this is what we, it's like, you know, joy to see that happening in the Ministry of Zion Fellowship. And as, I don't want to take much time, but just one thing, as it is, God is good, ministry is going on well, you know, wherever there is God, there is increase, you know. He's the one who increases the ministry. So we are starting a missions base in north of India, northeast of India, where there are so many tribes are there, you know, tribal people are there. So we want to reach them for Jesus Christ. It's not that there is no one there. There are men of God, ministries are there, but we want to join them, you know, as a part of the kingdom of God, and to see that a great ministry will come forth through Zion Fellowship. And we have some countries like Bhutan, you know, Nepal, Sikkim is not a country, part of India, and Bangladesh and other seven sisters, we call them the seven northeastern states, to reach for the glory of God. There are some good ministries have gone there, but they never seen the kingdom. So we have a bi-dimensional ministry. Like, one is to establish the kingdom in the nominal churches and to reach out the tribals for the glory of God. Please continue to pray for that. In the days to come, some of you might come and visit there and be there. It's a great place to live and great place to serve the Lord. So open welcome to all of you. But once the Lord says, don't say no to the Lord, you know. Ultimately, your plans will go off. His purpose will come on your life. So that's one thing. And this morning, you know, I just want to tell something good about my family. My son, John, who is a very eligible bachelor, You know what is meant by eligible bachelor in India. He did his, technical education. He's a B.Tech guy, software engineer, handsome, good looking, 5 feet 10 inches. You know, you see in India, you know, then mostly many fathers wants to give their daughters, to my son. But finally, he broke their hearts. Some of the fathers, their hearts were broken. But he made up his choice and to marry a girl who was born again and God-loving girl. And I was telling him, son, if you want to make your family successful, first thing is, if your wife is happy, your life is happy. The first foundational statement for marriage. Every husband should know that. And the second thing, you need to tell your wife, always, you need to learn one word to make your family going on. Well, that is, say sorry, whether it is required or not required. Say sorry and learn how to say sorry, And I have 3 kids, 2 got married, and I have grandchildren, 3 grandchildren. Some people say that, oh, Pastor, you look so young. And that makes me so good, feel good actually. That's where I am. And when I saw this guy, one of the guy was shouting and yelling. One of my grandson does the same thing. He always makes lots of noises. There is a preacher in that guy, This guy is going to preach to the nations. Mother, you take that word from me. It's from the Lord. He's going to really reach the nations. Because already it is being so, he's there. And people say, 3 kids, grandkids. And we look young because it's God's grace on our life. And we die for Christ also. You know, what do you mean by dying for Christ? We die for Christ, This is where we die for Christ, So, if you die for Christ, you look young. So, that's where we are. So, you need God's grace. You need God's grace as well as your effort also, So, that's where we are. And this morning, I just want to share with you how to be successful in your Christian life and how to overcome the giants before you, inside and outside. The giants which intimidate us, which bother us, which make us feel that we cannot go past and we stuck somewhere, When Pastor Steve was talking to me about this church is fasting for 40 days, I said, this is the best thing a church should do. Now, once you fast, you are shifting the heavenlies, sir. You are shifting the heavenlies. This fast is not just for you, not just for this church. This is for the city of Millersburg. And because of your fasting and seeking the face of the Lord has opened the doors, heavenly windows on this city, beloved. Many people are already receiving the blessings what you have started. When I was going to a church in Little Rock, Cabot, and the pastor's name is Alan Alford, you can Google it. And when there were 40 people, I went to that church, preached in the church. And as the leadership came forward, I was preaching, praying, and releasing the words of knowledge into their lives. And they came to me and asked, how can we grow? I said, it's not in my hands. It is in the hands of God. I can advise you, increase your prayer life. If you're praying for an hour, make it 2 hours. Praying for 2 hours, make it 4 hours. And seek Lord, and seek the manifest presence of God in your life. And then, today, the 40 people have grown to 800 people. Not only just in numbers. Why I'm telling you? Because this church has got that potential. This church has got that potential. You know, when some church, any church has got a potential, you are on the top list of devil. You should also realize that. If you don't realize that, you are ignoring that factor, then ignorance is no excuse. So that's why, because when Moses was born, the devil knew that the Redeemer has come. So it resisted till the last. So they have, today, they have seen almost 35 cancer patients are being healed within few years of their ministry, beloved. Because now cancer has become nothing in that church. Because the presence, what difference? Because of the presence of God. So I feel the same here when I was praying and asking God, Lord, what is the word for this church, Lord? I said, this church is going to experience tremendous revival in the days to come. And I was asking, the presence of God will make a difference. Let me preach and then let me get into that. You know, and when you say that, you know, how to overcome, the worldview of success is like, you know, an achievement. You will achieve something. An achievement make you, your name great, famous, and you know, you will have wealth and you will get fame, and also with having a lasting impact on the world. If you take an example for this thing, you can see Steve Jobs. This man is known for what he has achieved through his life. He's no more. But still, he has a lasting impact on the world as a person. But now, what is the success, the biblical view of success we have? Accomplishing the assigned task despite adverse situations. Despite adverse situations, with an earthly success and eternal value. You have earthly success with an eternal value, beloved. That is success defined biblically, beloved. So we were assigned for a task. How many of you feel that you are assigned for a task? You are assigned for a task. You as a Christian, you are assigned for a task. We are not, you know, we don't have two lives. We have only one life. Even as a Christian, we don't have a sacred, secular. The people have decided, divided our life into two. One is sacred life. What do you mean by sacred life? Sacred life means you get up early in the morning, pray for an hour, read the Bible, you know, worship the Lord. On Sunday, go to church and give tithe and have fellowship. That is a sacred life. What is secular life? Go and do your job in the world outside. And they are not saved people, but still you handle with them differently. But the word of God says there is no sacred, no secular, only one thing. It is sacred life. What you are in the church, you are outside. We gather here to celebrate Jesus Christ as a church, as a body of Christ. But when you go out, you are a church. You represent Jesus Christ. You carry the presence of God, beloved. That is what, you know, I just want to encourage you. That is what the success we need to think about as a Christian, beloved. And, you know, you need to realize your position and your potential as a Christian. First thing, you know, your position, you are seated alongside with Jesus Christ, Ephesians says. You are seated alongside with Jesus Christ. And also, you know, 1 John 5:4, you know, whatever is born of God will overcome the world. That is always a great, whenever I read that scripture, I feel that I'm actually, you know, having a strength coming into my life. Because I am born of God. You are born of God. You have God's DNA. And God never ever tasted defeat in his life. Am I right? And one who has got God's DNA will never ever taste defeat in their lives. Do you agree with me? That is what happens, beloved. Because the DNA comes out of the blood. When Jesus was, you know, when he was, you know, when Gabriel was talking to Mary, you know, Gabriel said, Mary, you will be conceived because the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You know, the blood has directly come from heaven. Holy and pure blood. It is not the blood of Mary. It's blood which has come from heaven, beloved. So the DNA which has come from heaven to us, we are born through his blood. And we got his DNA. That's why I tell people, whenever you have become a Christian, today, my dear sister, you know, she has officially been stamped. You know, now officially stamped now. There is an endorsement. Now you are not just like his resurrection, not into the likeness of his resurrection. The word says in the olden word, you are his resurrection now. You are his resurrection. You can move in the power of that resurrection, beloved. So, you know, that's what I want to say. You have a DNA that can overcome any situation, every situation. That's what I want to encourage the church here. Any obstacle you can overcome. That's why I tell people, when you become a Christian, you need to delete some words from your Christian dictionary. What are those words? Defeat. You have to delete the word. You have to delete depression word also. Take that out. Of course, we need to counsel people when they require. I don't say that. You know, we all do that. But you need to tell them that depression word is not in the Bible. It's gone. Because we are a different people altogether, beloved. So that's one thing I want to tell you. The successful people have got four characteristics. Four characteristics. You know, you need to have an attitude. How you develop your attitude? You develop your attitude by the word of God. Just now I told you that, you know, you are the overcomer because the word of God says. Then you look different. You look different because you have got the attitude what the Bible speaks to us. Attitude becomes your behavior, and your behavior will become your habit, and your habit will become your character. So it all starts with your attitude, basing on the word of God, not on the world outside, not because of your background, not because of your education, not because of your wealth, anything, but the attitude erupts, starts from the word of God, beloved. So that's why I say, you know, Bible speaks many things about that. You are the sons of Most High God. You know, you take the word, sometimes I speak, you know, Lord, I am the son of the Most High God. You know, when I go, you know, I carry your presence with me, Lord. So it makes a difference in the people. So we live in a country where the Christianity has been encountered by hostility. You know, hostility, the word, yeah, okay, God. Because I tell God, Lord, because they might understand my accent or not at times, but I make sounds, you make sense to them. I make sounds, you make sense. Because it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why whenever I preach, I ask people to listen twice, thrice, six times, it will get into your heart. You know, so your attitude makes a big difference, beloved. Today I want to encourage you, attitude is the most important thing in Christian life. Let me tell you a story that I told last Wednesday or not. You know, we travel in the flights at times to come here, you know, and sometimes we normally travel in the business class, in the economy class. I'm so sorry to say that word. I'll take back. economy class. And then in the economy class, always there is a push and pull. To put your bag, to be on the line, zone 3, zone 4, zone 5, zone 6, always there is a line. But not with the business class and first class. It's a different thing altogether. If you travel sometimes in the flights, the business class guys always, they are so serious, they don't look at people. As if they are doing everything so busy with their work and all. You will be passing them, they don't even look at you. So that is, actually, these guys have got an attitude. The business class attitude. Then sometimes when I go with my boarding pass to the counter, you know what happens? Suddenly they say, when I give that, sir, you are elevated to business class. You know what? The moment I hear that word, my posture will become different. Now I'll be a different person, like, you know. The moment it said, because then I said, my walk will be different, like, you know. Because I'm a business class guy now. And the people who are there, they are mass. They're all mass, economy class. I'm a business class guy. Now, I don't identify myself with the mass there. Because I'm a class guy. And I wait for my turn because I don't need to rush in the mass. When my turn comes, they said, first class and business class, first you can board in. So I don't need to run around. I can just walk. Just took a corner of my eye and look at them. You know, guys, okay. Once in a while, if once in a while you have this attitude, the word of God says, you are born of me. You are my son. You are co-heir of what all I have. The heaven is open for you. And the Bible says, I am the one who stands with you. Covenanted with you. What a business class attitude one should have, beloved. Today I want that we should get to that place to operate, to pray, to talk to God. Lord, I'm special. I'm special to you. How many of you know that you are very special to God? Very special to God. And that's what, don't even look at yourself, you know, oh, I'm no good. No, don't ever say that word. You are the most beautiful person on the face of the earth. How many of you know that? Whether you know it or not, I know that. Every morning whenever I go to the mirror, I say, the most handsome guy is standing before you. The best height for a man is 5 feet 6½ inches. That's me. The best color for a man, handsome man, is brown. Not white. You know, the best hair should be dark. You know why? Because I have all that. And God has designed me. God has designed you. You are the handiwork of God. Not only God has designed you, God has a purpose in your life. No, God wants you to be successful. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you mightily for the extension of His kingdom. You cannot go the day, you cannot let the day go just like that. One day, one word will make a difference in the lives of the people, beloved. So that's what I want to encourage you. Have the attitude, you know, what God has given to us. And four things for a successful people. But Bible has, you know, has 800 characters they have seen. Out of 400 characters, 8 people were successful. What are the common things they have, you know, with one another? The common things. The first one is intimacy with God. The first thing, they had intimacy with God. The second one, they were faithful in little things. Second one. And the third one is, they were obedient to God, implicit obedience to God's word when God speaks to them. And the fourth one is, they have a faith for great things, beloved. When what people cannot see, they see by faith. They receive the word by faith. So faith for great things, beloved. These are the four things I will explain to you and would love to pray for you guys. You know, God has designed man to be in his presence. I was telling on Wednesday. He has designed man to be, to live in his presence. Out of God's presence, man cannot survive. As fish needs water, the water is mandatory for fish to survive. That's how the man needs the presence of God to survive. And also, not only to survive, but to revive. That is what happens. That's why God told Adam, the day you eat fruit, you will be out of Eden. Eden means presence of God. You'll be out of my presence. Once you're out of my presence, you will gasp for the presence and you shall die. That's what happened with Adam and Eve, beloved. That's why I just want you to realize how important it is for us to live in the presence. Presence is not, you know, the visitation. Presence is not a visitation. It's a habitation. You know, we come to church. We enjoy the presence of God. God visits us. That's great. But I want to challenge the church all the time that it is not only just a visitation. It should be a habitation in your life. Wherever you go, you should carry the presence of God. That's what in Exodus chapter 33 verse 14 says. The Lord said, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. My presence shall go with you. If you carry his presence, what happens? You will be a blessing to people. Your one word can change their lives, will make their destiny open to them. They will be healed in the name of Jesus if you carry his presence. Recently, me and Ken and Shirley and my wife, we went to one of our very dear friend, Rick. And he was telling a testimony. Last time when I came here and we prayed for him, he has a condition for his kidney, you know, where, you know, it is going to, you know, deteriorating, and maybe the third stage, another one or two stages, he might end up in dialysis. Strong person, handsome, 6 feet, 2 inches or 4 inches, and this is the condition. And we prayed for him last time. And when we prayed for him, he felt that there is heat going into his body. The heat is being transferred into his body. And then we didn't even bother about that. We just prayed. He said that, thank you, Jesus. And this time when we went for dinner, he was telling the story. He said, you know what he said? That 2 days later, they went to hospital for checkup. When they saw the report, the kidney is 100% perfect. Hallelujah. The report before, the report after. That guy was an Indian Hindu doctor. When he said, my friend who has come from India, he has prayed for us and God touched me. You know, this Hindu guy doesn't have a clue about what has happened. You know what he said? Oh, these things happen sometimes. But what we say, these things happen every time. If you carry the presence of God, you need not be an apostle. You need not be a pastor for that. If you are a child of God, you can carry the presence of God. Once you carry the presence of God, people will be healed, beloved. I'll ask a question. I'll tell people, you know, pastor, the healing is, you know, somebody, only big people will do. I said, no. They are the generals in the kingdom of God. see Reinhard Bonnke, Benny Hinn, and other men, great men of God. But the Bible says something different. We thank God for them. What the Bible says. These signs shall follow those who believe. Simple. These signs shall follow those who believe. When they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's all. And it is not you are touching them. It is Jesus in you who touches them. Without Jesus, if you touch them, it's only like, you know, rubbing their head. If they have few hair, you'll take out even that hair also. You know, that's the only thing happens. But if Jesus touches, things happen, beloved. You carry him, you carry his presence, beloved. That's why I want to encourage you, wherever you go, even in the secular place, just ask them, would you mind if I pray? Would you mind if I pray? They might have a problem. Would you mind if just I pray for you? You know, that is the powerful word you are ever uttering, beloved. Wherever you are, talk to the supplier, the steward, whoever gives you the food. Just say, would you mind if I pray for you? Just tell them one word, blessings. You know, the word blessings have got 5 different meanings. That's why whenever I talk to somebody, I just say blessings. Whether you must be knowing that, but still let me tell you that, you know. 5 different meanings. The word blessings carry 5 different meanings. One is fruitful. You can write it down. Fruitfulness. The second thing is increase. The third thing is, you know, the third thing is prosperity. The fourth one is victory over enemies. And the fifth one is favor of God. What a powerful word blessing is. Now you see, whenever you say blessings, my brother. So what happens? Fruitfulness will come to you. Increase will come to you. Prosperity will touch you. You will have victory over your enemies. And you have favor of God. That's why I want this church to go out of the places, wherever you are. Just release the word, I bless you. Wherever they are, that will happen, beloved. Because when you carry the presence, it makes a difference, beloved. Then come to another point I want to share you. You know, he says, in his presence there is fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. We as a Christians, we are destined to be joyful all the days of our life. Am I right or wrong? Every time. Anytime, every time. I don't know whether I told it on Wednesday, but if I said that, I'll repeat it again. So no problem. You know, the joy is the mark of his presence in our lives. If you put your face like this, what does it mean? You are not joyful. If you are not joyful means, what does it signify? Maybe you are not in the presence of God. Right? In his presence, there is fullness of joy. That is what the word of God says. Now you might ask me a question. Pastor, if I have some sorrowful situations, how will I react to that? So let me explain that to you. Joy is a cake God has given to us. This is a cake. See this? This is a cake God has given to us. What is the joy? Having Jesus when you're happy or even when you are sad. Right? Happy or sad. Whatever situation. Joy, being joyful is a decision you have to make before God. Happiness and sadness, they're emotions. They're emotions. When somebody gives you $10,000, you are happy. Got it? And somebody takes $10,000 from you, you are sorrowful. Happy and sorrow is an emotion. Joy is a decision. Joy is a decision. That's what I want to explain to you. When people say, how are you, my brother? If you are sorrow, if you are sad, you should say like this. I am joyfully sad. What is it? I am joyfully sad. Because the cake is already there. Because when you go through the trouble, you have somebody to stand by your side. There is somebody to counsel you. There is somebody to comfort you. When you die, you can straight go to the heaven. That is a hope which God has given to us. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That is a joy. He's there all the time. Even though if I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. That is the cake here for us. Now, happiness and sadness is a part of life. When you lose somebody very close to you, you cry. But you know what you say? Even that's why Paul says, even in that midst of cry, we have a joy there. Because it's a decision, beloved. That's why I want to encourage you this morning that you be always joyful. Christians should be known for their joy in the city outside. When people come, how could Hillside Christian Fellowship always laugh and enjoy? They have smiling faces. What is the secret of your joy? You tell them, the only secret, receive Jesus Christ. He's the source of our joy. So I just want to encourage you, beloved, that is the way of life for us. That is the success of our, secret of our success. Overcoming the problems of your life. Because if you are joyful here, the devil outside will cry. If you cry, devil will be laughing. I want to make the devil to cry all the days of his life. I want to be joyful. That's why people say, even I preach, I don't preach seriously. Because in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. You must be joyful. I should be joyful. No serious thing. Nothing serious about, you know, our life. It's absolutely joyful. The next thing, you know, let me tell you. The next thing, faithful in little things. Whatever is given to you, whatever is assigned to you, you be faithful in little things, beloved. Because God looks at our heart attitude. Not our talk, not our expression, not our personality. He looks at our heart, beloved. Let me tell you my story. Because when you look at David, when he was asked to tend his father's sheep, David was so faithful, beloved. Even he did not spare a small sheep. When the lion came, he fought with the lion. He risked his life for one sheep. So that is the faithfulness in little things. I was thinking, Lord, what would I do at that time? Maybe I would have run away. Maybe I would have gone up to the tree. I don't know what I will do. But you know, David, he was faithful. He was ready to lay his life. He was responsible. He was accountable. He was ready to lay his life. So what assignment is given to you by the pastor or the leadership, what is it? It should be done faithfully, beloved. Everybody might not come here to the pulpit. That's what this morning I was thanking God. Ken, at this age, you know, he drove us all the way. I was praying, Lord, what reward I get? He deserves a part of that. Shirley is a part of that. Pastor Steve is a part of that. Because you all made it happen that I should come and stand here to preach the word. My wife. So it is a together thing, beloved. So be faithful whatever you do. Even if it's a little thing. Let me tell you my story once. When I was, doing my Bible college, my dean came to me once. He said, hey, Mohan, today you need to clean the toilets. under this guy's leadership. That guy was a village guy. He's not very well educated, and he has become my leader. He made that, my dean has made this guy as my leader. I was thinking about myself. Wow, how could that happen? I'm a master's graduate. I'm a government officer, big time officer. Not only that, I'm the son of the chairman of Sand Fellowship Ministries, and I myself was a secretary by the time. Now all these tags are there. How could I humble myself? How could I be getting down to that level? And I was not happy. Even the toilets in the US is good, but the toilets in India are very spicy. Because we eat a lot of spice and the toilets also are spicy. You need to clean. You can clean your own toilet, no problem, but you cannot clean somebody's toilet outside. And I was so unhappy, and I was looking and grumbling inside. Oh, see, what is this? You know, how could this happen? So I was, because of my, you know, inside anger or whatever you say that, you know, I was doing it even more. While I was doing that, that floor is getting more cleaner and cleaner. Where I'm putting my effort. Why did he give me? And I was pushing. And you know, when I came out, the Lord told me, you know, Mohan, that is the best thing for you. If you want to go to the top, that's the best place to start. That is the best place. I want to encourage you, if anybody wants to become top, now you know the secret. You know the secret. That is the best place to start, beloved. I'm not saying everybody to go there to clean it because the tiles may get broken. Not that point. But whatever is given to you, whatever responsibility is given to you, be faithful in that. That will be opening for you for a bigger way. As a church, be faithful in what you have. When I stood here, I said, Lord, I am preaching to the capacity crowd by faith. It's not a big deal. Crowd is not a big deal. The city is the big deal for us. You should impact the city. Be faithful in little things, beloved. Whatever is given to you. The Lord will see the heart attitude. So I just want to encourage you this morning. And another one is obedience, beloved. We always think about obedience. You know, obedience means it is not in the books. Mostly we feel that discipleship, obedience is a curriculum, is a preaching. My preaching will never bring obedience to you. I'm giving you the information about obedience. Actually, what is obedience? It is love plus trust results into action. If you love somebody, if you trust somebody, you will start acting upon his word. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me. God told Abraham, your only son, sacrifice him. Abraham loved God. He knew God. As this morning Pastor Steve said, you know, God loved us first, and we are reciprocating with that love, beloved. You know, and Abraham loved God. He trusted God. You know, what is the amount of trust he kept in God? Even if I kill my son, he is capable of bringing him back. That is the element of trust, beloved. When you obey God, what is required? The love and trust results in action. If God says, do it, you do that. Because you love God, you trust God. Abraham got his sword to kill him. He's already killed him in his mind. God shouted from heaven twice, Abraham, Abraham, stop it. Because if I do 1 second late, you'll be killing him. So that is what I just want to encourage you, beloved. Obedience. Israelites, children of Israelites, when they were out of Egypt, it's an 11-day journey. Ended up in 40 years of struggle. Ended up in 40 years of struggle because they were disobedient. Disobedience will distract you and, you know, destroy you, beloved. That's why, thank you. That's why you need to really, you know, see that they are for us as a guiding factors. In Corinthians, it is said, Paul was talking to them. Those who are like, you know, what has happened will guide us for our present now. So please, I just want you to take this word seriously into your heart. And also, there's another guy who has got, you know, wants to obey God in his comfort zone. In his comfort zone. You know, you say, Lord, you know, Lord, you bless me in my comfort zone. I can't stretch myself. Wherever I am, you bless me, Lord. So Saul was, he was living in his comfort zone. He wanted God to bless him. But God said, no, it doesn't work out that way, Saul. You cannot live in your comfort zone and ask for my blessings. Come out of your comfort zone. What are you right now? You need to get out of that. You know, some of the fathers, they say, parents, they say, we want to commit our son to the ministry. Where? To one of the big ministries. God said, no, go send him to Liberia. Oh, Liberia, no way. That's not our comfort zone. Any part in America, no problem. But not in Liberia. Not especially not in India. So a lot of problems will be there. No. Whatever God says, that's it, beloved. No comfort zone ministry. No comfort zone life, beloved. Because Jesus learned obedience, the things he suffered. He suffered, beloved. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8 says, he learned things. That's why I told you, obedience doesn't come by teaching. It comes by the way you suffer things. You go through the trials. You go through the testings. Then you know what is real obedience. How you learn to be obedient to God. Let me tell you an example. You know the life story of Jesus. You know, let me highlight one thing. You know, when he was praying all through the night for to list out the apostles, the whole night he prayed. Morning he got a list. 11 were okay. The 12th man was Judas Iscariot, the one who betrays him. If anybody has gone through the test, the strictest test, it is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because he has to love the betrayer for 3.5 years. Live with him. He has to sleep in that room and walk with him, talk to him. And his heart is tested by God the Father. Every time, beloved. You know, I was thinking, Lord, if I am in your place, what will I do? My prayer would be like this. Father, I don't say no to you, but send him on the Passion Week, Lord. The Passion Week. Because 1 week I can handle, but not 3.5 years. How could you live with a person whom you know that he's going to betray you? It's very tough to live. God tests our hearts, beloved. For 3.5 years, Jesus kept himself with the trial. Even on the last day, you know, when Judas was, handing him over to the Roman soldiers, you know what he said? Friend, even there also, it was a tough time, beloved. I know you in your life, you might have gone through those issues, tough situations. Tough situations always teach us to obey God. People come, when some of the sisters, women come to me in my church, they say, Pastor, we are going through this trouble. I said, if it is an attack from the devil, we'll bind it in the name of Jesus. If it is a test by God, you need to go through, sister. You need to go through. I just can't bind a test from God. I cannot do that. Because the test will make you a better person, a different person, a mature person. End of the day, when you come out of the test, you will have a testimony. What the word of God says in Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they have overcome the enemy. Hallelujah. When you go through the trial and test, don't give up, beloved. That is the best place where Jesus will be with you all the time. When Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were outside, nobody has seen Jesus with them. When they were in the fire, Nebuchadnezzar has seen the one who looks like Son of God. When you go through the fiery trials, there is one person always stands and walks with you. He's none other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who loves you with an everlasting love, will never leave you nor forsake you for whatever reason it could be. Always he'll be there with you, beloved. That's why I just want to encourage you, obey the word of God with implicit obedience, with an open heart. Lord, I don't want to reason with you. Whatever you say, I want to do that. Increase my prayer life, let me do that, Lord. You want me to preach the gospel every day, each day? I want to do it, Lord. You want to come and serve in the church? Go to your pastor and ask him, Pastor, what is the job I can do? Because I want to serve the body of Christ. You need not be on the staff. I always tell church, you know, it's not that only staff should work in the church. Every believer is a full-time worker. How many of you want to raise your hand, sir? Every believer, every church member is a full-time worker in the house of God. You might not be paid by the church here, but you will be paid by the heaven up. So you need not say that I don't have time. You need to have time to serve God. So that's what I want to encourage you, beloved. Implicit obedience to hear God, to serve God, to walk with God, to do whatever he says, beloved. And then finally I will come this and I will close it. Faith for great things, beloved. Because God has destined us to do great things. How many of you believe that? I believe in God that, you know, when I was a young guy, let me tell you my story. I don't even know how to speak English. When I was studying, I know three words. You know, what are those three words? Yes, no, all right. That's all. Three words. I got one more extra word than my friends. You know, what is that word? You want to know that word? That is none of your business. That is the extra word I learned. When we had any tussle, I used to tell my friends, that is none of your business. Because if they don't even know that, they used to keep quiet. But I have faith for great things. I said, Lord, you called me. I know I am in your purpose and in your plan. Nothing should stop me serving you, Lord. It is not my ability, it's my availability, Lord. You give the ability, I give my availability, Lord. That is what happens, beloved. Faith for great things. The devil will come and try to intimidate us. Because when David was facing Goliath, Goliath is a big guy. He's a foul-mouthed guy. He always speaks bad about you. He says, you cannot face me. You cannot fight with me. Intimidating personality, intimidating voice. They said, you are fit for nothing. You know, you need to speak to the devil. I'm fit for everything. I'll do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is a word for the devil you can speak to. You cannot make it because the devil will always try to question your identity. Sometimes you feel, oh, I may not be that close with the Lord like Pastor Steve. I might not be the special one. No. You are special. Because when Jesus, when he went to the wilderness, 40 days of fasting, when day and night, when he came back, when he was in the strong in his spirit, the devil came to tempt him, beloved. What was the temptation? He said, if you are a son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are a son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, Jesus was responding. Before that, there is a reality of situation. 40 days of fasting. He was hungry. Am I right? He was very hungry. He wants something to eat. The devil has tempted on that very, very need, beloved. That is reality of life. But Jesus said, I don't live by reality. I live by the truth of God. The truth is, you know what is the truth? 40 days back, when he took baptism. Today, my dear sister has taken baptism. So, congratulations. You know, when he took baptism, the heavens ripped open. Father God said, here is my beloved son. What did he say? Here is my beloved son, my huios, my qualified son, my replica. He exactly looks like me. My son, all heaven resources, heavenly resources are open to him. My beloved son. And Jesus said, devil, I'll not go by the reality. I'll go by the truth. 40 days back, God, Father told me, here is my beloved son. That's why he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. What was the word? You are my beloved son. What was devil questioning? If you are son of God, whatever God speaks to you, the devil will come and question. Will that happen? It might happen in India. Will it happen in America? It will happen everywhere, anywhere. Will the demons being cast out in America? Why not? Sure. We have seen them. We have casted them out. I tell people, when the devil has fallen from heaven, you know, when God kicked him out of heaven, you know, like a football, soccer, you know, that's why I tell people, Jesus said in Luke 19, I've seen the Satan has fallen like a lightning, fallen. And when it fallen on the earth, that was the Big Bang theory. You know, people who are really researching, spending millions of dollars, if they would have come to me, I would have given the clue to them. What is the Big Bang theory? God kicked the devil out of heaven, fallen on the earth. It made a big sound. That is a big bang. That's all. You know, that's what I want to tell you, beloved. The devil will always tries to intimidate us, question our identity. Never allow the devil to question your identity. You say that I am a son. I am favored by God. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. That's where we are. Never allow the devil to intimidate us, question us. That's what I want to challenge you this morning, beloved. Because I don't have much time. I just want to see that it should be prayer time. And it comes by hearing the word of God. Jesus heard the word of God, Father's word, his voice. He said, I am the son. Don't allow the devil to play with you at any given time. And when you see, I'm talking about the devils, you know. The devils, when they're fallen, you know, I was telling them, you know, in India, all the rough devils have fallen on India. Rough means, you know, tough devils. What you call tough? Ruffians. All ruffian devils, demons have fallen, India and Africa, All sophisticated devils have fallen on America. All sophisticated devils. That's why, because when we say that, you know, there is, we cast out the demon in India, here it is known as split personality. Multiple personality disorder. There we call them as demon. Here you call them as multiple personality disorder. I said, when I was praying for a girl and we prayed, demon manifested. And then I said, Rani, you need to touch her, because America, we are not supposed to touch. You know, we should be very polite. Then she touched and put her hand on that girl. It's gone. The guy said, oh, this girl has a multiple personality disorder. I said, don't worry. It's gone. It has gone. If the name is changed, the demon is one. That's why, beloved, you need to take authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Have faith for great things. Don't allow the devil to intimidate you any given time. Because the devil always tries to create a doubt in your life. Am I really special to God? You are very special to God. That's why he has come all the way to give his, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Even, I always say, even if I am one on the face of the earth, he would have come for me. Likewise, he could have come for you, beloved. That makes you so special today. You know, and I want to tell you, closing words, you know, fear will always paralyze our faith. Don't allow the fear to dominate you. You know, let me tell you one story. When I was in Bhutan, we went for the ministry, because in Bhutan, it's a forbidden city. We are planning to go there now. If you preach gospel, if they catch hold of you, they will put you in the prison for a lifetime. That's it. You are done. We were there in Bhutan. And one of my Canadian friends, we both went there with as a team. We were going to Himalayas, and then the driver came to me when we stopped in the middle. He said, sir, are you a Christian? Hell broke on me. If I say yes, if this guy will inform the police, I'm done. I will never see my wife and my kids, sir. Even if I see them, I'll have a long white beard and no dying for Christ. You know, all white hair, everything, long hair. That would be my position. Then what would I say? If I say, yes, I'm in trouble with this guy. If I say no, I'm in trouble with Jesus Christ. He will say, I don't know him. So what do I do? 30 seconds. Those 30 seconds were the most longest seconds in my life. Everything was coming like a picture. Then I told him, yes, I'm a Christian. What it may come. You know what he said? He came even closer to me. He said in my ears, sir, I am also a Christian. I said, oh, hug me. Give me a big hug, man. Because you saved me today. And then through him, we reached out the church in Bhutan. You know how the church in Bhutan functions? They go to the hospital where there is terminally sick people, because they cannot share gospel to the people. They go them, they follow them to their house, and they said, would you mind if we pray for this dying person? They said, okay. They pray for them. They see that that person get healed and baptized in the name of Jesus. Because they cannot preach to a healthy person. That's what it is. They have 400 people in the church, all terminally sick, and got up and they become a church, beloved. So that's why I want to challenge you. You know, never allow fear of anything, because our God has already trampled the head of the devil. Enjoy the victory and enforce the victory. Hallelujah. And finally, David said, you know, when he saw Goliath, for people, it was an obstacle. For David, it was an opportunity, beloved. For others, it was adversity. For David, it was an opportunity. When you go through a problem, you don't look that as an adversity. Don't look that as an obstacle. You look that as an opportunity, that your elevation is round the corner. Your elevation is just there. For Joseph, in the process of elevation, finally he was stuck in the prison. But you know what? The prison was the last step for his elevation. If you feel that you are in that situation, don't worry, don't bother. That is, you are close to elevation, beloved. Just one step ahead, you know, before your elevation. So don't ever, you know, give up your hope in the Lord. Just have faith for great things in your life. Don't even bother about obstacles, anything. Because God gives us, you know, faith to overcome the giants, beloved. This morning, I want to encourage you, have faith for, you know, to overcome anything which bothers you inside, anything which bothers you outside. Because our DNA is to overcome the enemy at any given time, beloved. Only thing is, you just cultivate the intimacy with God. God said, cultivate and keep it. Cultivate the presence of God in your life, in the church life, in your family life. Carry His presence. Your testimony, being a joyful person, will be a big difference in this mourning world. And then be faithful in whatever you are doing, whatever little things you are doing. Be faithful and give 100%. Don't compare with others. In the kingdom, there is no comparison. Only it's a complementary belief. 10 talents, 5 talents, it doesn't matter. It's only matter how faithful you are. And then it comes to obedience, beloved. Jesus was obedient even to the death unto the cross of Calvary, beloved. He was obedient to his Father. He was crucified naked. When I heard that, when I came to know that, it shook me, literally. Being hung on the cross naked. He doesn't bother even to become a matter of shame before people. Just because he loves you and me. So finally, every adversity turned it into an opportunity. David took 5 stones. 5 stones. You know why? I was told by somebody, one of my very dear friends. 1 is for Goliath. 4 for his brothers. 4. Even if they show up. Faith beyond. Victory beyond. One victory, Goliath. If 4 of his brothers show up, David said, I don't mind. I can still fight and put them down. With 1 victory, don't be satisfied. When the church is full here, the people come here, even without being prayed for, miracles will happen. The healings will take place. That's what happens. So that is 1 step. The next step, release this anointing, this presence into the city of Millersburg. On the streets of Millersburg, every corner be an evangelistic meeting. Healing crusade, every corner. That should be the thing which should go on. Because when in the presence he works, you rest. You just watch God working and thanking him, beloved. It's my prayer, my prophetic word for this church. This church will see the best in their lives. The manifest presence will come down as a mist like. You will see the angelic presence. Some people will see the angels at the time of worship, at the time of ministering. And there will be a lot of, you know, the heavenly shift is taking place right now. I could sense the tremendous presence of God right now. Shall we stand in his presence right now? We are here to disdain, to overcome the giants in our lives. Pull down the strongholds of the devil and be a winner and victorious person. That's what for we have been destined, beloved. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Right now. Lord, we are not worshipping a Jesus who is historical, who is in the history, Lord. We worship a Jesus who is now, right now, here. We worship you, Jesus. You are a now God for us. And you move in the miracle, signs and wonders, touching the lives of the people, transforming them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Steve and his dear wife and all the leadership team. I pray, Lord God, let there be tremendous release of miracle, signs and wonders, Lord. Multitudes come here to get blessed, to be comforted, to be challenged, to be rescued, redeemed, Lord, and be released for the ministry, Lord. We just commit each and everyone, especially the young people, Lord. They are the hope for the vision, Lord God. With these young people, Lord, with this young generation, Lord, if your coming is delayed, another generation will see the intense presence and tremendous glory be released through them, Lord God. Anoint each and everyone who are here, Lord God. We bless them. Let there be a greater reception in the days to come. Even now, Lord God. Beloved, I just want you to just pray and ask God. Lord, I want more from you, Lord. I want to have intimate relationship with you, Lord, no matter what. It's not because of me, it's because of you, Lord. I want to be faithful in little, Lord. I want to have implicit obedience, whatever you say, Lord. Like your son Jesus, I have nothing to say. Whatever Father does, I do. Let that should be our attitude, Lord. Have faith for great things, Lord. This church will have multiple services in the days to come for the glory of God. Release that in the name of Jesus. All the designated miracles will come to pass through each and every believer. It's the body that functions most in the mighty power of God. Release, Lord. Receive, beloved. Receive. The Lord is filling you right now. Filling you right now. Wherever you are, just receive. This is the most precious time. The presence of God is here. Receive it. We would love to pray for you. We would love to pray for each and everyone.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.